to you by Barfoot and Thompson.
Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. We're taking a break this week, but we found one of our favourite episodes for you to listen to, so here it is now. To another Monday. Year is whizzing by. Tapri, have you started your Christmas shopping yet?
No, I haven't, Stephen.
Well, it's not far. I don't know how many Mondays, but it's certainly getting close.
It certainly is, yeah. Time to start planning.
And for those that listen, because we replay these episodes over the Christmas break, then, you know, you've already had it. You've got a little bit longer to think. Well, look, lovely to have you back. You're a regular visitor on here to chat all things mortgages. Yes. For those listening, perhaps for the first time, just tell us a little bit about your background so people understand who you are.
Sure, Tapere. I'm the Director and Financial Advisor for Hewitt Mortgages. I'm also a homeowner and property investor and have been investing in properties for well over 20 years and held a number of leadership roles outside of the business. We have been operating for 4 years as a business and growing very, very slowly. But yeah, and I hold a New Zealand Certificate in Financial Services, an MBA. We have recently been awarded the top 25 mortgage brokers in New Zealand for 2024.
Wow.
Yeah, and a number of other awards as well.
That's what is it that you love about mortgages and getting people into homes?
So my passion has always been in property, and that's purely for me. It's always been about being able to control your own destiny and not allowing for example, a landlord to control how you live in your own space. So it's really about living life on your own terms.
When we talk to property managers on the show, from a rental perspective, one of the bits they hate is saying no to someone to get into a home. I can imagine it's even worse your end when the bank comes back and it's a no. How do you manage that process with somebody?
Yeah, that can be really difficult, Stephen, but what we like to do is, even if the bank come back and do say no, we like to put them on a little bit of a plan. So the bank might have declined them for credit reasons or maybe not enough deposit or something like that. So we will put them on a little plan, whether it's 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, whatever that looks like for that particular customer. And you know what? A lot of them, we had, so if you think back to 2020, I'd put a lot of customers on a plan and, you know, it was about 2 years looking into the future. Some have come back and yeah, others haven't quite done it yet. But, you know, like 4 years in and they've come back and said, hey, Tapere, you know, in 2020 when I first met you, you said to do all these things and now we've done it. And are you able to get us a pre-approval?
Brilliant. Love it. Mm. Love it. And do you, as mortgage brokers, do you work with sort of all the main banks and other sort of lending institutions?
Yes, we are accredited to all the main lenders, including Kiwi Bank, TSB. Not all mortgage advisors are accredited to all of the main lenders. So it's important that you know that your advisor is accredited to all the main banks. We also work with our non-banks as well, like Liberty, Avanti, those types of lenders.
When would be a time that you'd use a non-bank lender?
We would generally use a non-bank if a customer has credit issues or account conduct issues in the past. And so we would look to take that, and they don't meet the criteria of a main bank. So we would look for an opportunity with a non-bank initially. And yes, the interest rates are slightly higher. There are some fees depending on which lender you go to. But full disclosure to all our customers, we will let them know if there are fees up front. It is a solution. It is a short-term solution for a long-term gain. So we look to initially take them to these lenders and then we have an exit strategy to bring them back to our main banks.
Once you can sort of prove your track record.
That's right.
Yeah, that's cool. What made you get into this in the first place? What was that moment of spark that you said, I want to go down this path?
Yes, well, you know, initially I'd said, you know, I've been investing in properties for well over 20 years. This had initially stemmed from a family, my father, who was very much so into property, and all throughout my, my life growing up, I've always wanted to help people get into property. I've seen family members renting and, you know, in my mind thinking that I can make a meaningful impact on their lives through them owning their own properties and then creating wealth for themselves as well as generational wealth. So, yeah, it's my passion.
That's so cool. Mm. And you're a true family business. You've got the family involved.
Yes.
And that's grown since we last caught up, because I think at the start of the year it was sort of just heading down that path.
That's right, yes. So my husband has just stepped into the business in May and my daughter as well works for the family business. And, you know, it has its challenges, Stephen, but working with family as well has its benefits too. And, I guess eventually once I've only got, 15 years to, to be running this business, if that, and who knows, we could pass it on to our family or sell it. So, yeah.
Because last time we chatted, your daughter had got the bug and started doing sort of this world in Australia, hadn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very similar to Mum, is she?
Very, very similar. Our daughter is very similar. We've both got the that drive and, you know, that attitude, and sometimes we can, you know, can clash, but it's all, you know, we all want the best outcome for the business, for the customer, and that's all that matters at the end of the day.
And I love that, as a customer thinking I am working with a family business. I think the values of that just instantly shouts out integrity and trust, you know, when it is a family business. So good on you. Good on you.
Thank you.
So I want to focus a bit today on first home buyers, because the market has certainly switched. The interest rates have switched since we last talked. Where are we at now for first home buyers? Especially, I guess, we're based here in Auckland, although our podcasts are listened throughout the country.
Yeah.
Is it still possible to be a first home buyer in Auckland?
Even more so now.
Great.
It is definitely possible. So with interest rates starting to shift in the right direction, shift downwards, 3 months ago, like in comparison to where the rates are today, we're probably looking at a 1% decrease. And also with the official cash rate being announced on the 9th of October, we should, you know, definitely see another decrease, not just with the official cash rate, but the retail banks moving on their rates as well, which is really promising. So what does this mean for not just our first home buyers, but just anyone looking at either refinancing their mortgage as well? It means that their ability to meet the bank's lending criteria is a hell of a lot better. They can service with the bank. So previously, you know, what we call stress test rates, when the banks, when a customer comes to us and we're doing an assessment on them, conducting an assessment, doing the calculation, it is not on the rates that you see online. It is around about 2-3% above. So we are calculating at around about, we were calculating at around about 8.95%, so almost 9%.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about 8.5%, and hopefully we should see that go down. Now, what does this actually mean for our customers? It means that the more the interest rates decrease, it allows them to service, you know, to borrow a bit more money to afford the house that they're wanting to buy.
Mm. Cool. In the media, there was a whole lot a year ago of, you know, banks drilling down first home buyers to how many coffees they were buying, how many Uber Eats meals, etc. Is that still happening, or was that a bit of a media frenzy for a short time?
Well, I think initially the regulations just got it wrong, and there have been some changes to that. There was never any intention to, you know, to scrutinise the coffees and things like that. So it's definitely changed. It is really, you know, can these customers afford it based on the bank's criteria? So if you are eating out a lot and, you know, you are buying a lot of coffees, we've just got to make sure that whatever you're wanting to borrow versus your income is sufficient. It meets the bank's criteria. And I don't think people need to worry about that, but what they do need to worry about is their account conduct, making sure they are paying things on time, making sure their account isn't going into overdraft, unauthorized overdraft, reining in some of the spending. So if you are looking at getting on the property ladder and buying your first home, it is good to rein things in and make, you know, look at your bank account for the last 3 months and see how, you know, how you've been operating your accounts, how many times you do eat out. Yeah, and just talk to us, like talk to me and, you know, and see if there's anything you need to improve on. Some customers don't need to improve their, you know, on what they're doing. They earn enough money and, yeah, so in the bank size, it'll be totally fine.
Is it just 3 months that the banks tend to look at?
Yep, so 3 months, bank statements, especially if you're a first home buyer. However, if you own a business and we do need to look at business accounts, the bank would be looking at 6 months worth of bank statements. Yeah, that's the only difference.
Okay. So what other advice would you have for first home buyers? What other things do they need to think about? And I guess I'm thinking, you know, are there other costs involved that they need to be prepared for? And I guess sort of the rules around living in it if you use your KiwiSaver, etc.
Yeah, so for first home buyers, you're looking, there are definitely upfront costs. So you've got your solicitor's fees, generally, you know, around about $2,000, something like that. Always good to speak with us. We have people that we use and absolutely trust, and I personally use them myself. And so, yeah, around about $2,000 for solicitors, maybe they're is a, you know, if you need a registered valuation. So if you have less than 20% deposit, then you are going to have to get a registered valuation. We organise all of that for you. So the cost is generally around about $1,000, but we will let you know what those costs are up front. So I would say in terms of upfront costs, around about $3,500 to $4,000, you know, because then you've got a LIM. So, yeah, building inspection report, around about $600 to $1,000, depending on who you go with.
Yes, you do need a spare bit of money in the kitty for all of these costs, especially if the first home doesn't go through and you might need to do this more than once.
That's right.
That's probably where you get a little bit caught out.
Yes, yep, absolutely. So it depends. So initially what we do is if a client is wanting to purchase the property, we will get the bank to clear the security first and provide us with the conditions that they need the client to meet. And so we will take that route so it doesn't cost the client as much. But also bearing in mind, we are able to get our customers cash back. So there's incentives out there for first home buyers where you'll get $5,000 cash back, right? And there is a bit of a contingency with that, and that there is a commitment to the banks generally around about 3 years. So if you end up proceeding with the bank, you'll get this $5,000 cash back. It's basically free money. But if you sell that house within a period of time, so 3 years, then you will be required to pay a portion of that cash back.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And talk us through KiwiSaver. So how does that help a first-time buyer or any, can it help any purchaser?
Yeah, so anybody who is employed, you know, on a salary in New Zealand, the government will match the KiwiSaver contribution. So if a employee contributes 3%, their employer will match that 3% as well as the government contributions each year. We encourage our clients to, if you are looking at getting a first home, we would encourage our clients to increase that KiwiSaver contribution to as much as they can. So you can increase it for as much as 10%. And so what that does is if you've been in the scheme for 3 years, then you can use that money that you've acquired over that period of time, less $1,000, to go towards your deposit on a home.
Brilliant. And you have to live in that house if you've used KiwiSaver, is that correct?
That's right. So if you are intending to use your KiwiSaver for your first home, you have to have lived in that property for at least a minimum of 6 months. You can't use it as an investment property.
Okay, 6 months, not too long.
It's not too long.
No, that's good.
I think it's pretty generous.
Yeah. Good advice there, though, around, you know, getting that KiwiSaver set up. Parents listening, that's one of the best things you can do for your kids when they're a teenager, is get that KiwiSaver set up. First little job, get them putting some money aside. Yeah, all adds up. What about new new immigrants into New Zealand, what are the rules for them if they need to sort of prove, I guess, to the banks? Do they need to be working here for 12 months? How long do they need to prove? You know, they may have come with a lot of savings because they've sold up somewhere else in the world, moved to New Zealand. How does it work for them?
Yeah, so it really depends on, like, if they've got at least a minimum of a 12-month working visa, some banks will accept them as customers. So it all depends, but they'll have to have residency. I mean, other than those that are on a 12-month work visa, if they've got a residence visa, then we can have a look at that and then just send it to the bank. But the criteria is pretty similar for them. So if they meet the residency criteria, then it is just standard as per usual. Have they got their deposit? How much deposit do they have?
Okay. Talk us through the process. So for a first-time buyer listening, they've gone and done their 3 months of good accounting for you. They've got their KiwiSaver sorted. They found the house they want. Yep. They've done their reports. They come to you. What's your process and how long does that take?
Yep. So our process is that I will first have the conversation. So the client will book in with myself and I will pre-qualify the client. So I'll go through what deposit they have, where that deposit has actually come from. Is it KiwiSaver? And there can also be gifting from parents or family. So we need to track those funds because of anti-money laundering. So we need to know where that has come from. So that's number one. Also income, verifying their income details. How long have they been employed for? If they've only been employed for, let's say, 2 years, we need to track their employment for at least 3 years.
Right.
So there's some history there. Also, they're like with their verifying their incomes and their outgoings, just generally, okay, what, you know, do you have any consumer debt? Let's say they say, yep, they've got their credit card. The credit card might be $10,000, but they've only got a balance of $100. Mm. Okay, so when we do the assessment, we tell them not to reduce the credit card limit yet. Once we've conducted the assessment, and let's say if we're struggling to, you know, to get the funds that they're wanting to purchase their first home, we will look at things like reducing their credit card limit, right, if not getting cancelling it altogether.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, so there's that. And just reining in the spending because, again, it's case by case, but it just depends on how much that person that you're speaking with actually earns. Mm. So there might be some that eat out quite a bit, but they meet the lending criteria because they earn quite a bit of money.
Is it best to get your pre-approval and do this paperwork before you start going out and finding your dream home?
Absolutely. Absolutely best to get in touch with us and
find out what you can go out and purchase.
That's right.
Yeah.
And to get a pre-approval in place.
How long does a pre-approval last for?
Pre-approval lasts for 90 days.
Okay.
Yeah, 90 days.
That's time to go shopping.
It is time to go shopping, yeah.
Can you, as a first-time buyer, buy on your own or should you be looking to purchase with somebody?
Absolutely. You can definitely buy on your own if you meet the serviceability criteria, if you've got enough income and the bank don't deem you as a risk and also us, then absolutely you can purchase on your own. In fact, we've got a lot of customers who, you know, who do purchase on their own and prefer to do that on their own.
Because there's been a lot of marketing lately. One bank in particular, which really focuses on, you know, find your friends, find your family, buy together in a sort of group, you know, four or five people come in and it's this glorious, happy, harmonious house living. And I look at it on TV and I think, I don't know how many of those would actually happen. Because there must be some risks if you are purchasing with anyone other than, say, your partner or perhaps a sibling.
Yes, look, it is a solution, but it is a very complex solution, right? You've got to know the people that you're buying, you're going in with, and do they, you know, it would be very, very complex unless the family members that you know very, very well. But we have had situations where friends have gone in together, and this was actually back in 2020, and we're currently doing a refinance for them, and they are happy as Larry, best friends, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
so it does work.
It can work. Yeah. And probably picking a house where you've got your own wing and your own space.
Absolutely, yeah.
With interest rates decreasing, what, you know, get your crystal ball out, Tapri. What can you expect to see in the property or mortgage market going forward?
Yeah, so we've already started to see a shift in the 6 month rate. So I would suspect that, I mean, rates are already in the 5%. So if you're looking at your 2 to 3 year, longer term rates, you're definitely in the 5%. Will it drop to 4%? I hope so. I think everybody is hoping for the same thing. But what I do advise our listeners is get in touch with a mortgage broker before you lock anything in, because, you know, we are getting rates all the time, and we can see across the lenders who's offering what. And if you're going to if you're going directly to your bank, you're limiting yourself. So, you know, we as brokers can see who is offering what across the market and how we can save you money, get you cash back, all of that. So my advice, get in touch with your broker.
And what about refinancing? Because that's something you do a lot of with your team.
Yes.
How often should somebody with a mortgage look at refinancing or check their finances?
Well, for us, we review our client's situation at least, you know, every year, year and a half. You should be looking at your finances, your mortgage every 12 months, and seeing, you know, and talking to your broker and seeing what's out there at the moment, and do you need to, you know, review, does your broker need to review your finances or not? And generally they'll tell you, if you're locked in for a couple of years, now what we're seeing is the interest rates that they had locked in, let's say a year ago, interest rates now are a lot lower, so clients are getting they're being charged break fees. So they've got to be mindful. It is important that they work with the broker to work out what those numbers look like and whether it is worth refinancing.
There's been changes to the LVR. How did that impact deposits? Where are we at these days with deposits?
Yep, so no change with deposits if you're a first home buyer, but if you are a property investor, there has been some changes. So if you're a property investor and wanting to buy an existing property, so not a new build, you are looking at 30% deposit, which is still pretty hefty. Mm. It's still a huge amount.
Again, especially in Auckland,
especially in Auckland. Yeah, I mean, a lot of our clients who are looking at investing in properties, they already own property where the equity is quite sufficient to enable them to leverage off their existing property to purchase an investment property. But it is still, 30% is a lot.
Yeah. Mm. What do you think, you know, speaking of investors, what do you think is sort of the biggest issues facing them these days when it comes to financing?
Yeah, so in the last 6 to 12 months, the biggest issues has been the interest rates. The interest rates, it hasn't really made it feasible to have, to actually own a investment property because of the rates. And of course, you've got insurance costs increasing, land rates increasing. So overall, the return on investment hasn't been that great at all. But with the interest rates decreasing, I mean, you've got a 1% drop now. So a lot of landlords would be, wouldn't be feeling the pressure as much. So once their fixed rate comes off, they'll definitely see the savings for sure.
Can a first home buyer be an investor? So if they decide to stay living at home with mum and dad or flat with their mates, etc., and get on the wagon?
Yeah.
Probably don't want to get off the wagon, but on the wheel. can a first home buyer purchase an investment property?
Definitely. So first home buyer can definitely purchase an investment property. So it's different. So if they're buying an existing home, so not a new build, then the 30% rule still applies. But if they're buying a new build, in some cases they can purchase a new build and only have anywhere from 10 to 15% deposit.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. There's hope. If you already own an investment property, at what point do you know you're ready to buy number two? Is there a magic date number?
Yep. So there is definitely a formula we work out. So they've got to have at least 20% equity in their existing property, plus a little, plus more to purchase this other property. So we will do the formula for them. get in touch with us and we can work it out, because we've also got to work out what the value is that the bank are holding for your property. So it's not as easy as saying, okay, you've got to have this, because the market is moving all the time. And now with interest rates dropping, we should see a slight increase in the property prices.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. When what does your team look for when you're dealing with an investor? What is the goals when you're sort of doing that forward plan of trying to help them reach a goal of multiple properties, etc.? Is that something they can discuss with you right from day one?
Definitely.
That sort of forward, I guess, financial road mapping?
Yeah. So whenever anybody engages us, we want to know what their goals and objectives are. So even our first home buyers, even if they can't see past their first home, I will sort of plant the seed as to, okay, well, you know, once you've done this, what does the, you know, are you interested in investing in property? What does that look like? And you get some who go, yes, I'm all in. Mm. What are the things I need to do, Tāpere, to help me get to the next step? And so we will not only get them on the property ladder, we will have a plan in place for the next property, and that would involve something like adding value to their property, whether it's through renovation, something like that, reducing their mortgage balance as well, paying extra on their mortgage. So it's tips and tricks like that. And we've had a number of clients that have come back and gotten into investment properties that have just followed our real simple process.
Next week, your friend Nicole Lewis, author of Property Quadrants, is on the show. So a good person, if an investor's listening, listen on the tips on how to get there and then come to Tāpere and her team to make it happen.
Absolutely. Nicole and I were actually out last week just chatting all things property. Yeah. And, you know, she's a wheeler and dealer, and I absolutely just, we just, you know, really click when it comes to talking about property and different ways to do things. And this is the value of coming to us, right, is that we have so much experience, and chances are we have made mistakes here, there and everywhere. Mm. And, you know, our clients get to the benefit of, you know, our experience, and make sure that they don't make the same mistakes.
And you've also got this wide network of people you can pull on. So when we, you know, again, first home buyer listening, you've mentioned a few before of having to get a LIM, etc., getting a lawyer involved. Who are the other people that need to be involved in the process of purchasing a home?
Yes, so we've got our insurance advisors to make sure that your house, your content, your vehicle can all be covered, as well as your life insurance. So, we've got our insurance advisors. So Jamie James Insurance is one that we work very, very closely with. And also, lawyers, RA Law, we work closely with them as well. And, because I personally use them, I absolutely trust that they will get our clients over the line, and a lot of our clients have given feedback that they're very happy with that.
Brilliant. Then you've got to think about things like having a will in place. That's an important part to get that mortgage through.
Yes, you actually mentioned guest.
Yeah, a few weeks ago we had Footprint on, so that definitely one to look at for wills, but an important part. All these things that sort of, it's not an easy, quick, overnight decision to purchase a house. You need to be thinking about all these other bits and pieces. Are you noticing more and more buying out of Auckland?
We have had more and more queries as to whether clients should buy.
Ah, interesting.
Should buy out of Auckland. And see, I own property in Auckland alongside my husband, as well as outside of Auckland. And we have a lot of clients coming to us and saying, hey, Tāpere, should we be looking outside of Auckland? Because, you know, property prices are a lot cheaper. Well, are they? If you look at the property market now, I think they're pretty much on par. And in fact, you know, we've got places like Tauranga who, you know, their prices, I think their average house price was about $900,000, you know, a few months ago. So I would be saying look in Auckland first and foremost. And the reason why I say that is because if property prices are kind of on par, maybe $100,000 out, the growth in Auckland is a lot better than what you would get outside of Auckland. That's my only thing. I mean, you'd be looking, 5-6%, you know, in Auckland plus. But outside of Auckland, I don't know. Oh, sorry. Inside of Auckland, you'd be getting around 4%, let's say, yield. And then outside of Auckland, you might get 5, maybe. You know?
Do your homework.
Do your homework.
Don't presume. Yeah.
And the market's changing all the time. So what I would say to our listeners is look inside of Auckland. If you live in Auckland and you're looking for an investment property, get in touch with us. But I would encourage you to look at the property prices within Auckland first.
Mm. One of my favourite episodes chatting with you was your very first time you came onto Property Matters, which I think was like in our first few weeks of creating the show. And I got you riled up because we talked about financial literacy in high schools. Now, this has actually sort of come out a bit again recently in news and media and the Prime Minister looking at, you know, what subjects should and shouldn't be in New Zealand schools, and this topic of financial literacy has come up. Have you noticed any shift in the clients? I guess this is an age generational thing, but are you starting to see, there's lots of news on this, I was watching Breakfast this morning talking about, you know, the Gen Zs and their expectations around employment and employment hours, etc. Are you seeing any trends from a financial literacy point of view since we first talked this all those years ago?
Definitely since we first talked. Listen, I can take our son, for example, who I just think they're savvy in terms of their investment strategies. You know, like for us, our generation, Stephen, are just sometimes a little bit old school. So let me give you an example of something my son had talked about. So was talking about, one, channeling your, what he does is he invests every week into shares, right? And just making sure he just does that and talks about dollar cost averaging and all that for shares. But then at the same time, you know, he's got his eye on, he's in property at the moment, but he's like, well, you know, why don't you just pay the minimum and, you know, you could even just pay interest only. Whereas our generation would be saying, no, we should be paying down that mortgage, right? So why don't you pay down the minimum, and over time you're just relying on the capital growth, and then you can grab that, you know, that equity and leverage off that. So, and they're just so much smarter than we are, you know, because if you did what he said and just did interest only, and yes, there is a risk that you're just relying on property prices to go up, but over time if you keep buying and buying, once you've done like 20 years of this, then I mean, look at the value of your properties over all of them, then sell down half and pay down the half.
Yeah,
so they're very, very smart.
Do you think then we are teaching it in a better way in schools, or is it perhaps our younger generation's more accessible to technology and Google and teaching?
We're
teaching them. That was my worry.
Yeah, it's definitely not schools. It's definitely social media. So a lot of influencers coming out and talking about how they manage their money and, you know, just different strategies. So there's no one way of doing things, and it all depends on that person and their financial situation and their appetite for risk. But I do think the younger generation are definitely a hell of a lot smarter than us,
I love at my daughter's school, they have a subject, and it's like what we would have called economics, but it's got a new title these days. And I love it. She makes them all set up a business at the start of the year, and they've got to run that business. And it can be small, but they've actually got to run all parts of that throughout the year and try and turn a profit. And I just think things like that's just going to help set you up with a better financial understanding for the future. It has to be practical.
Yep, absolutely. But also, you know, drilling down to your home life, right? Getting your you know, if your children are working, or even if they're not working, like letting them see how much the electricity bill is, the internet bill, like what does that look like? How much does it take to run a household? Or taking them food shopping with you and just say, this is the budget. Make it work for the family for the week.
Take charge of the calculator while we walk around.
So it's practical stuff like that, that they need to know how much it costs to run a household. And I think, you know, with that experience, us as parents can show them that way. Let them take the reins for a bit.
I saw that in a supermarket recently and I was so impressed. Mum was pushing the trolley, and I would have said probably 14-year-old son with the calculator and the shopping list.
Yes.
And she literally just kept saying, no, I'm not choosing, you choose. And he was like, but if we got this size, we're going to get more, and this, but then I couldn't do this. And I actually found myself watching them. It was gorgeous to watch, but she gave him full control.
Yes.
It was his budget, but it had to be, obviously, they had the list of meals for the week, and we're going to have lasagna tonight, because he was weighing up different minces. Then I called him a bit further down, he was working out the cheese and how expensive cheese is, and you could hear how horrified he was, too, because that was going to muck up getting dessert. I think dessert was, if you can make this work, you get dessert. By the way, how brilliant. Brilliant practical teaching.
Absolutely. And I love that. And so we've done pretty similar in that we've actually given our son the, you know, the money to go and, you know, like, these are the things we need, like, you know, make it happen. And he always comes in under budget.
Love it.
So, there you go.
Good family. Now, where's your company heading now? So what's your goals for the future? Is there crystal ball gazing? When we catch up next year, what will you be saying?
Yep, so our goals in the future is still to grow our client base, but to become, raise our profile nationwide. So that is still the goal. To increase, we're wanting to bring on a few more mortgage advisors as well. As well as something on the side, we are looking to launch next year as well. So
Watch this space moment. Now, we have lots and lots of listeners in the Canterbury area and in Christchurch, so I want you all hitting up Tapri, please, because then she'll know it's thanks to Property Matters that suddenly she needs an advisor down in Christchurch. What does it take to become an advisor? Like, talk me through this as a career move for somebody.
So if you're wanting to become a mortgage advisor, you would need to sit your level 5 certification. And that takes, well, it depends on the person. It can take anywhere from 6 months to 6 months to, you know, to 8 months. It just depends. It's a lot of commitment. You've got to sit like a core paper, and then you can branch out into whether you become a mortgage advisor or an insurance advisor. But you've got a core sort of program that you need to be able to pass. So there's that, as well as it's really important to have that experience as well in either property, whether it's lending, whether you've worked for a bank or, but you know, my background is I hadn't worked for a bank. Yes, I'd worked in finance, but my background is from hands-on experience as a property investor for over 20 years. And, you know, I'm able to help my client through real life practical experiences.
Brilliant. Now, this show gets replayed at Christmas time. So for those listening at Christmas, have you worked out your Christmas plans yet? Are you taking a break? Or is that a really busy time of the year of people buying?
Yeah, so this is from now up until Christmas, this is the busiest time of the year for all mortgage advisors. I don't know why, but, you know, back in 2020 they said, well, that, you know, December is usually the quietest time. It has never been like that ever.
Do you think that's a summer thing where Kiwis like to look at properties in summer, and we do our homes up, we make them look beautiful because we've got our weekends out in the sun and daylight saving, so then it goes on the market?
I think so, but not only that, our first home buyers are wanting to get on the property ladder to have Christmas dinner, right? They want to buy that property before and settle before Christmas.
Nice.
So they can invite
bring
the family
over and look at my new home. Okay, so do you get a break?
We do get a break. So our break times are from Christmas Day from Christmas Day till around about mid-January. So it's a pretty good break. But we start back, mid-January.
And I guess so much of your work can be done online. For people, you know, their contact, they can engage with you, but then complete everything online.
Definitely. I've even worked from the Cook Islands offshore. So, so much of our work can be done offshore, just wherever. Yeah.
Nice. How can people get in touch, find out more, and follow all the wonderful things you're doing?
Yeah, sure. They can follow us on Instagram, Hewitt Mortgages, or on our website, so hewittmortgages.co.nz.
Brilliant. I always love you coming in. You're full of so much information. You're informative. You easily guide people through the process. So get in touch, hewittmortgages.co.nz.
Thank you, Stephen.
We'll look forward to catching you again soon. Coming up on the show next week, we've got Nicole Lewis back in the house. She is here to talk about her latest book that is coming out, plus we'll catch up on her last one as well. Remember, if you've got any questions and you'd like to find out more from any of our guests, email us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. If you're driving home, drive safe, have a fabulous week. We'll catch you next Monday. Take care.